Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All our respected listeners, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us for His Mubarak Deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding, the true understanding of Deen, like the Sahaba radiallahu anhum conveyed the Deen to us. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, what we have to remember is they took Deen directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they imparted it to mankind in its pure and pristine manner, perfectly, as it was received by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as it was received by them from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they passed it on to mankind. They made the greatest sacrifice, the sacrifice of Sahaba radiallahu anhu. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that يَحْمِلُ هَذَا الدِّينِ مِنْ كُلِّ خَلَفٍ عُدُولُهُ, that the sages of every age will carry and preserve this deen. يَنْفُونَ عَنْهُ تَحْرِيفَ الْغَالِينَ وَانْتِحَالَ الْمُبْطِلِينَ وَتَأْوِيلَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. This is why it comes in Bayhaqi. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that they will protect the deen from all those who falsely attribute to deen what is actually not there. False interpretations, wrong understanding. And Sahaba radiallahu anhum were those that preserved and protected the deen first. In every era, my respected elders and listeners, there are those people who will falsely interpret the deen. Many will do it intentionally, with an agenda, with a wrong purpose and objective, with a purpose of deviating people, that this is, you know, happening sadly in different areas, in different times. People falsely attribute to deen what is not there, or, you know, try and misinterpret the deen. But many do it with a purposeful agenda, wrongfully, with intention. And also there are those who actually, you know, impart the deen thinking that they are right, but they are, meaning they are sincere, but because they received the deen from the incorrect avenues, they imparted it incorrectly. So there is both these kinds of people. You find those who do it purposefully wrong to actually misguide and deviate mankind, Allah save us. And there are those who do it, who explain the deen wrongly, but they do it sincerely, and that's also wrong. But how did they go astray? It's because they received the deen from the incorrect avenues. Our deen is from heart to heart. Our deen was via sanad. Our deen came from Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They preserved and protected the deen. They kept it up. They protected the deen. And among the attacks of the forces of batil is to attack the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, because they purposefully want to bring down the deen. Because then they will say, the same Sahaba who brought the deen to you, they are, na'udhu billah, you know, unreliable, astaghfirullah. And their purpose is actually to attack the deen. But Sahaba radiallahu anhum kept up the deen. Allah speaks of them in the Quran. Allah speaks of their status. Allah speaks of Allah's forgiveness for them. Allah speaks of the way they imparted deen. Allah speaks of their iman. Allah speaks of the fact that Allah is happy with them and that they are jannatis. And it was them who took the deen to the four corners of the world, selflessly, serving deen. There was the Sahabi that we are to study today, the sage, this glorious Sahabi radiallahu anhu, who accepted Islam in the Meccan stage. He was none other than Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Sahaba radiallahu anhum really were the best of Allah's creation after the Anbiya alayhim as-salatu wasalam. First of all, how did Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu accept Islam? It was a time in Makkah, in the early Meccan stage, when Tufail bin Amr Dawsi, and we all know Tufail bin Amr Dawsi, we have discussed him before in this series of discussions on the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. When he came to Makkah, and the Meccans surrounded him to actually confuse him about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Tufail says that they actually set me down and they started speaking to me about the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that how bad it is, what a magician he is, and what he has done. He says, I got so worried that I actually stuffed cotton wool into my ears, not wanting to even hear what he has to say mistakenly, that his, na'udhu billah, poison mustn't penetrate my heart. This is what Tufail was thinking at first. Now, he says, even when I went to the Kaaba, I stuffed the cotton wool in my ears, and when I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's salah, I saw this beautiful prayer. Then I said to myself, why don't I speak to the man directly? I can hear from him, and I don't have to judge him via information from others. And that's what he did. He went to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, waited for him to complete his salah, and then he followed the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam home. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam welcomed him and gave him the full explanation of Islam, gave him the full da'wat. Fufail says, I have never heard something more beautiful, something more just, more amazing than the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I accepted Islam, and then I said, O Nabi of Allah, I am a man revered amongst my people. I am obeyed, I am their chief. Allow me to return to them and invite them to this goodness. And this we'll find in the Sahaba on the whole, my respected listeners. They never were selfish. They were the most selfless of people. They gave everything. They gave of themselves. He says, O Nabi of Allah, make dua, Allah, give me a sign. And then he departs. Now when he comes to his people, my respected listeners, he was very strict in his invitation. He gave them da'wat. He invited them. And very few people accepted. His wife accepted. The wife is generally under the husband. His father accepted. But the thing is that others were not prepared to accept. And then when he returned to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, O Tufail, go back to your people. Because inna fihim mithluka kathir. There are many, many like you amongst your people. Inna fihim mithluka kathir. Like you, there are many amongst your people. Now this is an amazing statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my respected listeners. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is informing Abu Huraira, informing Tufail, that like you are a diamond, like you are special, you are coming to accept Islam, you accepted, Allah brought you. Now, like you, there are many amongst your people, but they are amongst your people. And Allah is going to use you now to take them out and to find them. So we learn from here that Tufail was a diamond, and Allah is telling him that there's diamonds like you, there's special people amongst you, amongst your people. And like this, my respected listeners, in every community, there's many, many diamonds out there. But every Muslim has to help the next and find that diamond and that special quality in him. So when Tufail returns and he works amongst his people again, among the early people to accept Islam was Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. So now there's difference of opinion. Either he came back with Tufail when he returned the second time, or he accepted after Tufail returned to those the second time. But anyway, among the early people to accept amongst those was Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. And then when Abu Huraira came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also, his name was Abd Shams. Abd Shams. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam called him Abdul Rahman. Abdul Rahman. So his name was changed. He was Abdul Rahman radiallahu anhu. Abdul Rahman bin Sakhr. There are many views in regards to his name, because his name is not so famous. His title is famous. But the most famous amongst his names is Abdul Rahman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And now he returns with Tufail radiallahu anhuma, and they go to those and they work in serving Allah's deen, calling the people to Allah ta'ala. This first report where he accepts Islam comes in Hayat al-Sahaba, Volume 1. It's quite a beautiful, lengthy report where, you know, Tufail works amongst his people, and Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu accepts, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Tufail, there's many amongst your people like you. And when he returns to those, and he spoke to the people this time much more politely than the first, because Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, O Tufail, in your inviting to Islam, you have to be very, very soft. You have to be very, very understanding. You have to be very, very loving. And that's also very important a lesson for us. When inviting people to Allah, we have to be very soft. What we have to remember is, this person is new to deen. And we can't just now tell them all the laws, you have to do this and you have to do that, meaning put a set of rules in front of them. They haven't yet tasted the sweetness of the love of Allah. How are we going to expect them to practice every part of deen instantaneously? Then what might happen is, we might lose them completely. And we've experienced that many a time, when we just present laws to them and rules to them, and they haven't experienced the love of Allah Ta'ala, they, not long after that, they actually feel it's too much and they leave. Just think of a building, my respected listeners. If you are putting up a structure, you first put the foundation, and the foundation should be strong. And then after that, the walls, and then the roof, and then the internal. So we want to put the roof onto the new Muslim, and even the foundation is not even, strong yet. Teach them who is Allah, the love of Allah, the greatness of Allah, the grandeur of Allah, the mercy of Allah, the beauty of Allah, the greatness of Allah. Tell them who is Allah. When they love Allah, they'll be prepared to do anything for Allah. So Tufail radiallahu anhu worked amongst his people softly, sweetly, pyar se, shafqat se, muhabbat se. And then Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was by his side. And they would invite to Allah Ta'ala. They would invite to Allah Ta'ala in the Dose area. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, among the people that also accepted was Jundub bin Amr bin Humama bin Auf Dosi. Because he was also in our area, and he used to always say that there is a creator for this universe. I don't know who he is, but there is a creator. And then when we returned to our area and we worked on him, he heard about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from us, and he also accepted Islam. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says that Jundub used to actually go to the people one by one, and call them to Allah, call them to Allah, call them to Allah. This was the system of Sahaba, one by one, radiallahu anhu. Then after years of effort in the Dose area, in that interim, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Makkah, Mukarramah, and Tufail and Abu Huraira radiallahu anhum were in Dose, in the area. And years later, after years of effort, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then migrated to Medina Munawwara. And when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Medina Munawwara also, years passed by, years had passed by. And then it was the 7th year after Hijrah. So that is 13 years in Makkah. So Allah knows exactly which year during the Meccan stage did Tufail come. Maybe it was the 5th year or the 6th year. So years passed then. So 13 years later in Makkah, after the Dawat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam migrated to Medina Munawwara. Now in Medina Munawwara, 6th year Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to make Umrah, and Sulh al-Hudaybiyah took place. Then he returned to Medina. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departed to Khaybar. And when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was out of Medina in the path of Allah gone to Khaybar, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, I came with my people. Qadimtul Madina muhajira. We came making hijrah to Medina Munawwara. And we entered Medina. Fasallaytu subha khalfa Siba' ibn Arfata. We made fajr namaz behind the sahabi by the name of Siba' ibn Arfata radiallahu anhu. We expecting to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but it was a sahabi. Actually, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had appointed him in charge of Medina in his absence. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, I remember in the first raka'ah he read Surah Maryam. In the second raka'ah he read Surah Wailul Lil Mutaffifin. Anyway, I asked him after that, where is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He says, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is gone out in the path of Allah. They've gone to Khaybar. So he says, me and my people, we traveled to Khaybar. Whoever was ready of them, we went to Khaybar. And when we met Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he met us. He was so happy to see us. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very, very happy to see Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, the people of Dose. And now, from that time, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu didn't go back home. He stayed and resided in Medina Munawwara by the side of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he spent so much of time with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was among the very close students of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used to actually reside, he would spend his nights in Suffa. His nights were in Suffa. Suffa is where the students of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would reside. He also had a mother in Medina Munawwara. But his mother was not Muslim. But he brought her along with him to Medina Munawwara. But he used to treat his mother very, very well. There's two reports about his mother, his mother's name. One report says her name was Maymuna bint Subayh. That's the report of Tabrani. Another report says her name was Umayma. But Umayma also means loving mother. So maybe he called her Umayma because of her love and affection, or maybe that's also her name, Umayma radiallahu anha. But at first she wasn't accepting Islam. And Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, I would often invite my mother to Islam. I would speak to her about Allah. I would speak to her about Islam. I would speak to her about whatever I learned in the masjid. And she would just listen, but she would refuse to accept Islam. So out of kindness, I would never stop trying. And then on one occasion, I returned from the masjid just to give her my incident of the day and invite her to Allah. And then what emanated from her tongue was something that was very hurtful for me. She was vulgar in regards to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, I couldn't bear it. I started crying profusely. I rushed to the masjid. Allah's Nabi says to me, what's the matter, Abu Huraira? Why I see you cry? He says, oh my Nabi, I always would invite my mother to Islam. She would refuse. But today when I invited her to Allah, she told me some things. She wasn't respectful to you, oh my Nabi. Oh Nabi of Allah, make dua. Allah, give my mother hidayah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for her. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, I went home. I see my mother's house, simple house, the door was closed. And I could hear water usage from inside. I wanted to enter, she said to me, from inside she called, Makanak ya Abu Huraira. Oh Abu Huraira, hold on a second, wait. And then when she allowed me in, she comes to the door, and as soon as I enter, she recites, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. He said, I was so happy, so happy, so happy. I started crying out of joy, just like I was crying earlier out of grief and sadness. I rushed to the masjid running, this time also crying, but it was a cry of joy. And I said, oh my Nabi, rejoice. Allah has answered your dua, and Allah has given hidayah to the mother of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. Then Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, there's also a beautiful report in Hayat al-Sahaba, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make dua, Allah make me and my mother beloved to the believers, beloved to everyone. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made that dua for him. O Allah, make this banda of yours and his mother beloved to every male and female. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu would always say, Ma khalaqallahu mu'minan yasma'u bi illa ahabbani. Every mu'min on this earth loves me. So he said this to his student, Yazid bin Abdul Rahman. So Yazid bin Abdul Rahman says, Hazrat, my question is, how you know everyone loves you? So obviously everyone loves the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, but his student now wanted to learn further. Was there any other reason? He says, that I asked Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make dua for me and my mother. Udu'u Allah an yuhabbibani wa ummi ila ibadihi al-mu'mineen. O Nabi of Allah, make dua, Allah make me and my mother beloved to every mu'min. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua. Allahumma habbib ubaydaka hadha wa ummahu ila ibadika al-mu'mineen wa habbibhum ilayhima. Allahu Akbar. O Allah, make this banda, this beloved servant of yours and his mother loved by every mu'min, and make them love the mu'mineen. So Abu Huraira says, that's how everyone loves me. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu spent years in the companionship. How many years exactly? He came in the seventh year, so 7th year, 8th year, 9th year, 10th year, 4 years and some days in the company of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Day and night he was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One day Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes into the masjid. Zaid bin Thabit radiallahu anhu, he narrates this report. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhu were making dua. So they were making few duas, and then when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came in, they stopped. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, carry on with your dua. And whatever dua they made, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ameen to the dua. Then Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu made dua. And he said, oh Allah, I ask you, whatever they ask you for, and I ask you for ilman la yunsa. Oh Allah, I want ilm that can never be forgotten. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ameen. And then the others are saying, hey, O Nabi of Allah, we also want that dua. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sabaqakum bihal ghulamu dawsiyu. This dawsi youngster has superseded you all. He asked Allah first, Allah will give him more of that. Meaning, we learn that in deen, Allah loves us to vie with one another, to hasten towards good deeds and righteousness. So he was always in the masjid, always serving Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was among the people of Suffa. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Zakariya rahmatullah alayhi mentions that the number varied, the students of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from 70 to 400 here and there. And there were many occasions where there were taqazas, there was a need to serve deen in a certain region or to teach deen in a certain region. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would send these students of his, who were the best. They were learning Quran and hadith and deen from him. It was one occasion of Mauna, Bir Mauna, where there was a need from that area for people in that area to invite people to Islam. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent 70 of Ashab al-Suffa, and they go there to invite to Allah, to invite to Islam. And one Sahabi, Haram bin Milhan, radiallahu anhu, was taking the letter of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to one of the chiefs of the area, Amir bin Tufail. So Al-Haram bin Milhan is giving the da'wat of deen, giving the da'wat of Islam to the chief. The chief had commanded one of his men, one of his guards, to stab the Sahabi behind his back while he's giving the da'wat. And the Sahabi was stabbed from his back, and the spear pierced through and penetrated his chest, through his chest. From the back, penetrated through his chest, and blood squirted out. He raises his hands, it was filled with blood, and he looks at the skies and he says, "Fuzdu Rabbil Kaaba, by the Qasam of the Rabb of Kaaba, I have won, I have won." And the Sahabi leaves this world. Jabbar bin Salma was shocked at the scene. He was the non-Muslim who had assassinated the Sahabi radiallahu anhu with treachery behind his back. He then goes to ask the Jamaat of Sahaba who were there, who had come to teach deen in that region. "This man here, I killed him," but he said, "He won. Didn't I win? Let me explain to you," they said, "he won because he died in Allah's cause, calling to Allah, in the path of Allah. That is true success, not in this world. This world is not real success. Success is the success of Akhirah." The bar was effected to a certain extent that he accepted Islam. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would send the Sahaba from Suffa on many tasks to serve deen, to teach deen, because they were his students. On one occasion, the people of Suffa were very hungry. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, "I came into the masjid and I found a few Sahaba sitting there. So I came there to ask Allah, to make dua. So they asked me, 'What has brought you here?' So I said, 'Hey, really, I'm hungry. I'm hungry at this moment, so I came to the masjid.' Look at Sahaba. Hunger would bring them to masjid. 2 rakat salah, ask Allah's need. We always hear from our ulama. When salah came, Sahaba was sure that now this is the greatest means to fulfill every need. Sahaba had such yaqeen on Allah, that Allah is the solution to every problem. Allah will solve every problem. And Allah has given us the greatest means, which is salah. 2 rakat salah can solve any issue, any problem. It's the solution to every challenge and problem. 2 rakat of salah. Ask Allah, beg of Allah." They said, "Hey, we also hungry. That's why we came to the masjid." See, it was minaj of Sahaba. Yes, they would fulfill it. They would do something else afterwards. But first they would come to the masjid and ask Allah. This was Sahaba's design. Then after that, they would go take the other means. But first they would ask Allah Ta'ala. When one Sahabi asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ijazat, he comes to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, "O Nabi of Allah, I take ijazat. I'm asking ijazat to go to Bahrain for some trade, for some work." Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "First ask Allah and then you leave. Salli raka'atin, make 2 rakat salah and then you depart on your journey." So then they said, "Hey, we went to meet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he asked us, Abu Hurairah is saying, what brings you at this hour?" So we just mentioned to him, you know. So he called for some dates and he gave every one of us 2 dates each. And he said, "Eat the dates now and drink water. Allah will satiate you." There wasn't much available. And then he said, "This inshallah, satujziyanikum yawmakum hada. It will suffice you for the entire day." Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, "I ate my 1 date and I just kept the other one away." So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Oh Abu Huraira, why haven't you eaten your 2nd date? So I said, "Oh Nabi Allah, I'm keeping it for my mother." Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Eat it, I'll give you for her as well." On one occasion, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, "I was so hungry that actually I was falling in the masjid. And others thought that maybe it was insanity. So they were placing their foot on my neck because that was like a cure, a known cure at that time for a certain disease called junoon or insanity." He says it wasn't insanity, it was excruciating pangs of hunger. That's how much Sahaba used to sacrifice. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told them, some of them would faint also because of hunger. And he says to them that if you all knew how much of reward Allah is giving you all for your sacrifices, you all would ask Allah Ta'ala for more difficulty, because what Allah will give you in lieu of all of this is much, much more. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says, on one occasion, "I was so hungry, I actually was forced to do this, that I came out of the masjid, I saw Umar radiallahu anhu go past, so I asked him a certain ayat, or a certain matter in deen. So he answered me, and he carried on. He didn't actually realize I was so hungry. But I thought maybe while he's answering me, I will get something to eat, maybe he'll offer me something, because I was so hungry. Anyway, he carried on after that. Then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went past. I also asked him this matter, this masla in deen. So he also answered me and carried on. So anyway, I was really hungry. And what I tried didn't work, because actually I was so hungry that I was forced to do what I did. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes past. And I asked him, O Nabi of Allah, you know, and he saw me and he realized I was hungry. That's how merciful Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He realized, he saw in my face, my pangs. He said, come Abu Huraira. Labbaik ya Rasulullah. I went by him. I followed him. He went home. He asked him what day is available. It was one bowl of milk. So he asked his wife, where this comes from? They said, so and so sent it for you, Nabi of Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Abu Huraira, go call Ashab al-Suffa, my students. Fad'uhum, call them. He said, I have to listen. It's Allah's Nabi's command. But I was hurt. Because one bowl of milk, I'm so hungry. If I could have had received one sip at least, it could give me some strength to gain some strength and power in my body. Then I can go. But Allah's Nabi's command. I went, I called them. They came and said, my Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Allah's Nabi said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Abu Huraira, give them, serve them. And I started serving them one after the other. Every one of them drank, the first, the second, the third, the 20th, the 30th, the 40th, the 50th, the 60th, the 70th, the 80th. No matter how many students were there of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every one of them drank till his full. He says, by Allah, the milk was not finishing. جَعَلْتُ أُعْطِ الرَّجُلَ فَيَشْرَبُ حَتَّى يَرْوَى. Each one would drink until he was satiated, until he was quenched. Every one of them drank. And it wasn't finishing. Then I gave them all, and I presented it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to drink before me. He looked at me with a smile, mubtasiman. He said, O Abu Huraira, it's just you and I left. I said, yes, O Nabi of Allah. So Allah's Nabi said to me, so drink, Abu Huraira. I didn't wait for the next command. I drank. And I had enough. He said, no, drink more. And I drank more. He said, drink more. And I drank more. He kept on telling me, drink more and drink more. And I drank until I was filled with that barakat milk. Until Allah's Nabi then said, drink more. I said, La ajidu lahu masaga, La ajidu lahu maslaka. O Nabi of Allah, I got no place left in my tummy. And then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the container, the bowl, and he drank the remainder. This was the barakat in the students of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was really a star. He was magnificent. He wanted to learn everything from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would always come by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to learn more and learn more. On one occasion, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu came to ask Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, I don't want to forget anything you say. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And he told Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, I asked him, As'aluka an tu'allimani mimma 'allamaka Allah. O Nabi of Allah, teach me what Allah Ta'ala has taught you. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took out one shawl that was on my back, and he spread it between myself and him. And then he narrated some hadith to me. And when I heard whatever he said, then he said, gather it to you, wrap it around you. And I wrapped it around me. He gave me such tawajjuh, such nur, فَأَصْبَحْتُ لَا أُسْكِتُ حَرْفًا مِمَّا حَدَّثَنِي. From that occasion, I never forget one letter from what he taught us, not one letter from the blessed mouth of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was made the governor of Madinah Munawwarah. He was a governor because he spent his time in Madinah Munawwarah teaching deen, imparting the knowledge of Allah's deen. So he was the governor of Madinah Munawwarah. And he was the imam. And he would always remember his days of hunger and difficulty. And he would say, O Allah, all praise is due to you, that you preserved your deen. جَعَلَ الدِّينَ قِوَامًا. You made your deen strong, firmly established. وَجَعَلَ أَبَا هُرَيْرَةَ إِمَامًا. And O Allah, you made Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that you made Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu the imam, الحمد لله الذي جعل الدين قواما وصير أبا هريرة رضي الله عنه إماما. He would always remember and say, نشأت يتيما وهاجرت مسكينا وكنت أجيرا لبسرى بنت غزوان بطعام بطني فكنت أخدم القوم إذا نزلوا وأحدو لهم إذا ركبوا فزوجنيها الله. He says, I grew up as an orphan. When I made hijrat also, I was poor, I was miskeen. And then when I had the opportunity after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because during Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time, he didn't want to take any employment anywhere, because he wanted nothing to occupy him from this objective. Great objective that Allah ta'ala utilized him for, Allah ta'ala gave him tawfiq for, Allah ta'ala used him for. After that, he said, I work for Busra binti Ghazwan, and I must get food to fill my stomach. I would serve and make khidmah. And after that, Allah Ta'ala made her marry me, meaning Allah Ta'ala gave me her as my wife. And years after that, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu then became the governor of Medina Munawwara. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu appointed him on many occasions. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu appointed him. Then Muawiyah radiallahu anhu removed him from that position to give him other tasks. And then he was put back into that position of being the governor of Medina Munawwara. But in spite of being the governor, his nature, his humility, his akhlaq, his sense of humor stayed the same. He never changed his attitude. Allah Ta'ala forgive us. Yesterday, if we were something, maybe on the street, maybe had small store, maybe had employment, and then today Allah gives us something else, we forget where it came from. We think it was our accomplishment, and then we start becoming flamboyant, arrogant, proud, haughty. Allah Ta'ala save us. Positions are things that bring arrogance into a person. That's why iman, taqwa, and the effort of iman is imperative for a person to keep himself in check, for a person to keep himself humble, and he has to remember that Allah is the one that blessed him, and also he has to appreciate those whom were used as the means to make him reach where he reached. Allah forgive us, ungratefulness has come into us. We shouldn't be ungrateful people. Those who also who are the means of us reaching where we reached, we have to appreciate them. We have to show them akhlaq, humbleness and humility. And we have to always make shukr to Allah Ta'ala, and also appreciate those who Allah used as a means to make us reach where we reached. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, governor of Medina Munawwara, one day he was carrying a load of firewood on his back. He's taking it home for his family. And he passed by, it was in the streets of Medina, there was a man in front of him, Thalaba bin Malik. So Thalaba bin Malik was facing the other direction. And Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu was passing in that alley, which wasn't such a vast alley, because he's getting to his house. So he says, while he's carrying the load, أوسعت طريق للأمير يبن مالك وابن مالك, please extend the road for the Amir. So Thalaba, who was busy in his other task, says that Allah have mercy on you, can't you pass from here? So much enough place already. He says, okay, maaf, let me rephrase it. أوسعت طريق للأمير وللحزمة التي على ظهره. Please extend the way, give some place for the Amir and also the heap of firewood that's on his back. So, you know, what humor he had, humbleness. All his life, his night was in tahajjud. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu's house, every part of the night was abad with ibadat with tahajjud. He would fast in the day, and one third the night he would stand in tahajjud. He stood his third of the night, then he would awaken his wife, and then she would stand the second third of the night. Then she would awaken the daughter, and she would spend the third night, the third portion of the night in ibadat. Every night, ibadat was abundant in the house of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu had one servant in his house. She was a woman from Sudan. She was a slave girl. And she was very harsh in her treatment to Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. And she upset him and his wife on many occasions. So one day he felt he wanted to take her to task, and he thought of giving her a hiding. But then he paused and he says, I worry of qisas, retribution on the day of Qiyamah. Otherwise you hurt me so much, I would like to take you to task. But never mind, I will sell you to him who will pay me your price in full when I need it most. Go, you are free and liberated for the sake of Allah. This was Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He would never give his daughter gold to wear. So one day she says to him, Father, others, they wear, nice jewelry. What about me? So he says to her, Oh my daughter, tell them, Inna abi yakhsha alayya harra al-lahab. My father is worried. He doesn't want me to burn and blaze in the fire of Jahannam. That's why He didn't want her to wear this jewelry, even though it is jayiz, but that was his level of taqwa and his piety, where he would always say, Inna abi yakhsha alayya harra al-lahab. He would stay away from zahab. Zahab is gold, because of the fear of lahab, the blazing fire of Jahannam. So all his life he was such a humble man. Even while he was the governor of Medina Munawwara, he would go and make gasht in the streets of Medina Munawwara. He would make gasht. There was an occasion where he goes into the streets to remind the people of Allah, and he says to them, O people, what is the matter with you all? The miras, the inheritance of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is being distributed in the masjid. Wa antum hahuna, and you all are here. Ma ajazakum, what has made you so weak? Can't you take out some time that you give time to receive from that inheritance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the masjid? And then you can come back and do your other chores. So they're saying, but what do you mean? You mean inheritance in the masjid? He said, yeah. He said, yes, go see. And they went and take your share. Where, Abu Huraira? He said, in the masjid. They rushed to the masjid. Abu Huraira waited there. All of them go, rush to the masjid. They saw what was happening in the masjid. And then they returned to the market. So Abu Huraira says, that what happened? Why didn't you all receive your share from the masjid? They said, we didn't see any distribution taking place in the masjid. So he said, what did you all see? There was no one there in the masjid. He said, yes, we saw halqas of ta'aleem taking place, halqa of Quran taking place, halqa of muzakara of halal and haram taking place, halqa of hadith taking place, namaz taking place, meaning people making nafil namazes, people in the halqas of ta'aleem, people discussing halal and haram, people learning the Quran, people learning the hadith. That's what we saw. No distribution of wealth or inheritance of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, woe to you people, that what they're doing in the masjid is receiving from the inheritance of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ilm and knowledge of deen is what we receive and what we inherit from our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is how he used to do his gash. What a senior personality, but he would go and call and connect people to masjid. Let us also take this lesson, my respected listeners. We should also bring people to masjid, connect people to Allah, connect people with masjid, with love, with compassion. And if sometimes people can't make it, offer them that we can pick them up. Remember that car you have is a gift of Allah. And if you use it for Allah Ta'ala's deen, that is shukr. So pick up the next person, pick up the new Muslim, pick up your brother who hasn't been to the masjid in ages, or pick up that person who's finding it difficult to come to the masjid, pick them up, then drop them off. Allah will bless you. That is your investment for akhirat, my respected listeners. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, every opportunity to advocate deen, he would take it, to invite people to Allah Ta'ala, to impart the deen of Allah Ta'ala. He would give people wonderful advices, wonderful nasiha. And very often he would give the nasiha of righteousness to parents. Because so much of love he had for his mother. He had so much of love for his mother. Whenever he would leave his mother in the morning, he would say to her, he would come by her room, and he would say, Ya Ummata. Ummi means my mother. But he would say, Ya Ummata, oh my beloved mother. That ha, that ah expression is an expression of love and concern and care and compassion. Assalamu alayki Ya Ummata wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace be upon you, my mother. Allah's mercy, Allah's barakat be upon you. And then she would respond, Wa alayka assalam Ya Bunayya wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And upon you too, my beloved child, my beloved son, Ya Bunayya. Ibni means my son. Ya Bunayya is the expression of love and compassion. Ya Bunayya. Then he would say to his mother, Rahimakillah, kama rabbaytini saghira. Allah bless you, my ma. Allah bless you, my mother, that you took care of me from the time I was a little boy. And she would say, oh my son, and Allah bless you as well, kama bararta bi kabira. In spite of my advanced age, you're so kind and loving and tender to me, my son. And when he would return home in the evening after his task, after his service of deen, he would address his mother with the same du'as and same love and same compassion. Oh Allah, you give us tawfiq. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he would always advise people, be kind to your mother and father, and join ties with your family. Be good to others. One day he sees a man, or two men walking next to each other. So he says to the younger of the two, who is this other man to you? Who is the other man to you? So the youngster says, he's my father. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, my boy, let me advise you, لا تسميه باسمه ولا تمشي أمامه ولا تجلس قبله. Never address your father by his name, and never walk in front of your father, and never sit down before your father. Make him comfortable first, and then you sit down. This was his life in serving Allah Ta'ala's deen. Then he would make dua, oh Allah, before the year 60 Hijri comes, you take me away to you. The blessed wives of Janab Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world, Aisha radiallahu anha, approximately 58, and Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu made her janazah namaz for her. And then it was the year 59 Hijri. It was in the year 59 Hijri, but there's a difference of opinion exactly which year, either 58 or 59 Hijri. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was leaving this world. You know, he was leaving this world, and he passed away. This great Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Marwan, who was the governor of Medina Munawwara at that time, Marwan bin Hakam, came to visit Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu and gave him du'as that may Allah ta'ala cure you. But his love of Allah, he says, oh my Allah, I love to come to you. I love to leave, you know, to come away. I love to come. And Marwan, as he just left the house of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he didn't reach far, and he got the news that Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu had left this world. You know? And even on his deathbed, the way he was crying. And he said, I'm not crying for dunya, but I cry because the journey is so far and the provisions are so little. I worry that I'm towards the end of this journey. Is it going to lead me to Jannat or is it going to lead me to Jahannam? Oh Allah, I don't know where I'm going to be. And then Marwan said, Allah cure you. And then he said, oh Allah, I love to meet you. I wish that you love to meet me too and take me to meet you, oh my Allah. This was his love for Allah Ta'ala. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala. What a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The most amount of ahadith he narrated, Rahabi rahmatullah alayhi mentions, he narrated 5,374 ahadith are the ahadith narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Let us teach our children the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us make the halqas of ta'aleem in our homes. Let us teach them who is Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu and who are the sahaba of the Nabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, you give us tawfiq. Let us read the quls for this glorious sahabi and all the sahaba of the Nabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Barakallahu feekum wa sallallahu ala nabiyil ummi bi rahmatika ya rahman.